God, you almost certain you peaked the mic so hard there, but we talked so long I can't see.
We have, I've been peaking my mic this whole time, and at this point, it's fine. Yeah, the entire bar is green.
Everybody, and welcome back to a very unusual episode of Who Is My Doctor?
Who is my doctor?
Who is indeed? I am your host, Zach, and this time it doesn't matter how much I know about Doctor Who.
And I'm also your host, Cassie, and did you like me being unusual?
Cassie, I always like you being unusual.
Aww.
That's why you're my co-host and my partner.
Yep, co-host first and then partner.
In that order.
Don't get the other. Don't get it mixed up the other way. He gets real angry about that.
How Cassie is ranked in my heart.
Yep.
And today we are going to watch the Star Wars Holiday Special.
Which, Hooray with a question mark?
Which only aired once on November 17th, 1978.
So 1978, that was... Before
the only Star Wars movie that had come out at this point was Star Wars. There was no Empire Strikes Back yet. They weren't they didn't get episode numbers yet.
I was going to say this is before or after the trilogy, so that way nobody's like, what do you mean before the first meme? Whatever. Yeah,
this is after the first movie, but before this any sequels. Okay. So nobody knows that Darth Vader is Luke's father. Han hasn't been frozen in carbonite. Nobody's
spoilers!
Learned.
Spoilers!
Nobody learns that Rey is either born of drunkards or the granddaughter of Palpatine or something.
Yeah, shut the fuck. We don't talk about.
Nobody's learned any of that stuff yet. Everybody still likes sand. This is the Star Wars Holiday Special, a infamous holiday special. I don't know how to even begin with this. Do you know anything about this at all?
Life Day.
You know, that
Chewbacca life day. Human teeth. Like Sonic that one time. B. Arthur, because you asked me, you were like, let's do. Oh, yeah. One of the Cassie Professor questions is, which one of the Golden Girls is in this? And I went, B. Arthur, because she literally loves doing.
Yeah,
I had
just thought it was going to be a silly like little thing I would throw out at you. And you had thrown back B. Arthur at me so fast, I couldn't even like hide it anymore. That was the right answer. So you get one free Cassie Professor point today. Good news is I do have a second question for you. We'll get to you in a second. She had tossed that at me so fast, I couldn't even like hide that it was accurate.
No, he goes, what makes you say that? And I went, the fact that you're asking me what makes me say that means that I know I'm right.
Yes. So this, as I said, aired in November of 1978, only once, and it has never been rebroadcast. It has never been officially released on any form of home video. Every form of it that exists on the internet is a bootleg, which is why the version that we are going to watch still has the commercials from 1978 included.
Which was a special request by me because... historically speaking, one of my favorite holiday specials is the Pee-wee's Playhouse holiday special, but the bootleg version that has commercials mixed in, there's something very nostalgic about that that really just tickles my gizzard, you know?
Oh, these are also going to be even nostalgic for a time you weren't around for. These are 70s commercials.
Mm-hmm. What do you mean I wasn't there for that?
Cassie lives cyclical lives. She's there all the time.
This is round like 8 for me at this point, maybe 9. I don't know.
What's your relationship with Star Wars in general? Like, do you hold it very fondly? Or?
So I know, you know, but for everybody else, my dad specifically is a gargantuan. He was there for this. He was there for when Star Wars was in theaters and was absolutely gung ho from the beginning. So growing up, I would watch Star Wars regularly. It wasn't until way later on when I was an adult where I actually sat down to watch them with purpose,
mm-hmm.
because I had seen up until that point, I had seen all six movies at random intervals in time. And even still, like, Star Wars is one of those movies that I, or one of those stories rather, that I just kind of put on when I have work to do,
mm-hmm.
because it is something that I am so familiar with. And I'm like, I don't need the visuals. I do enjoy still sitting down and watching, but in terms of like viewing anything as precious, this is not something that is like super precious. I love the world. I like the world building. I like specifically that this was one of the first times that you saw a space film where ships were not shiny chrome and leathers. It was dingy and grungy, and the world itself has graffiti, and it, the world feels way more lived in than the like polished futuristic stuff that people were very used to seeing prior mm-hmm. to. So for that, I have great respect and reverence toward Star Wars. I though really like when shit like this comes along that people absolutely loathe because it ruins the thing that they love so dearly. That's where I come in, baby. I hold nothing dear.
Kill your darlings. My darlings are precious, but your darlings can die.
I mean, there's very few things that I hold very near and dear to my mm-hmm. heart. You know, my cats, the Bible.
The Pee Wee Herman Christmas special.
Even still, that's one where, like, if somebody really did, like, go out of their way to do, like, a farcical version of it, I would love it.
Yeah, I'm not in love with the Star Wars franchise. I think there's some, I mean, when I was
like, there are a lot of stories, particularly like in more recent, the more recent era. I love Baby Yoda. Love the Mandalorian. I think that's awesome.
Yeah, the Mandalorian
Space
is great.
Western, are you fucking kidding me?
Yeah, I really like that quite a bit. But Star Wars in general is one of those things that I have a great respect for, but it's just not something I don't love it, some people do.
It's also something, too, where it's like there is so much. It's very much the same way that I feel about Marvel sometimes, mm-hmm. where it's like there's just too much. There's so much now that I can't be. It's nearly impossible to be a casual viewer, which is why stuff like this really, I do think, sticks out like a fucking sore thumb because it is so outlandish and so not what people want it to be in context of like the bigger whole.
Mm-hmm. Just to give you an idea, I'm one of the weirdos where The Last Jedi is my favorite Star Wars movie, and yeah, it's not close.
Well, yeah, because yours is Last Jedi, mine is Revenge of the Sith.
Yeah, and so you know, I feel like Revenge of the Sith is maybe not be the most popular option, but there's certainly a devoted fan base of that. I think The Last Jedi feels like a real some people.
That was one of the first ones that was the first one for me that I remember seeing advertisements for, mm-hmm. and like we went to the movies to see it.
Yeah, I will say that the episode 3, I was in 7th grade, and I remember that specifically because we had a field trip to the mall to go watch it as a class.
You did grow up in Oklahoma, didn't you?
I did indeed. So I do have a very fond memory of being like 12 years old and getting excited just because we were all going to go.
Yeah, I want to say McDonald's had a deal where they had toys or something for it too. Mm-hmm. We did have a Revenge of the Sith cup, like one of the big plastic ones.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't remember if we got that from the movies or from a dine-in place, as if McDonald's is fine
from a
dining.
Catalog your father clipped coupons out of for.
No, I mean, he was a member of Countrywide for a very long time, which I don't even think you know what that is.
That was like a DVD.
Correct. It was like a movie subscription service.
Yeah. I think you and I have talked, I don't know if we talked about it on the podcast, but you and I have talked about it before.
Yeah. So it was something that he spilled a lot of money into. However, I do have some pretty sick VHSs from that time of his life. So, like, you know, good on me now. But I think at this point in my life, like, I like Star Wars because it reminds me of my dad, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well,
and especially like my dad is somebody, too, that was a big fan of this kind of stuff. He loved Pee Wee Herman. He loved just kind of being a silly goose. One of my favorite stories is my sister, who mm-hmm. is at the time she was like 8 or something. She's yelling at my dad and she's just telling him, you need to stop being a silly asshole. And my mom went, oh, you cannot say that about your dad. You apologize. And she went, I'm sorry. He's still being a silly asshole. So to say that I am very excited for this because I know that it is just going to ring so many dad bells for me.
Well, let's see if I can temper that joy a little bit.
No, nothing can.
Just to give you an idea of the contemporary response to it. The Associated Press had a writer named Jerry Buck who called it a quote bubblegum for the brain.
Yay! I love gum.
Nathan Raven of the AV Club said, "I'm not convinced the special wasn't ultimately written and directed by a sentient bag of cocaine." And
it
then
was the '70s.
In the book, What Were They Thinking? The 100 Dumbest Events in Television History. This holiday special was ranked as the dumbest event in television history and was called, quote, the worst 2 hours of television ever.
Let's go, baby.
And it's not just the critics either. Harrison Ford, whenever it comes up, he at the very least acts like he's enraged by its very existence. He has been described as melting into a sentient pile of goo whenever it comes up. Conan O'Brien once had Harrison Ford on as an interview and wanted to ask him questions about it. Harrison refused to answer the questions. And then when he volunteered to play a clip from it, Harrison pretended to choke Conan O'Brien on air.
I feel like Harrison Ford feels the same way about this as I do whenever kids start yelling 6-7 at me.
I remember even more recently, there was one of those, I think it's Variety that does this actor remember their lines?
Yeah.
And they hand Harrison Ford a card and it's from the holiday special. And he goes, is that from the holiday special? He like throws it away like it's going to attack him or something.
Like it's covered in ick.
Exactly. Like he's worried the card will get on him somehow.
The card is COVID.
Carrie Fisher apparently recorded the DVD commentary on for the prequels in 2004, or maybe it was the re-release. But anyway, she recorded a commentary in 2004.
Yeah.
And then part of her like payment for doing that commentary was she wanted a copy of the holiday special and said she wanted it for parties, specifically when she wanted people to leave.
Amazing.
So just to give you an idea of how universally this is despised. So if you don't like it, if you do like it, I'm sure it'll make for a very entertaining podcast. If you don't like it, you're in a huge company. I have not seen it in years. I think before even you and I were dating was the last time I had seen it. And I did not watch it in full. I had seen it with the riff tracks. So the only modification we have this time is commercials. So I'm really curious what I'm going to think about it because I have a very hazy half memory of it. And we're going to find out together.
This is going to be the best Christmas ever.
But first, we do have one more Cassie Professi question for you because you did. You already got your 1 point when you read my mind and said that B. Arthur is in it.
Yeah, you made a questions answer B. Arthur.
That's fair.
That's on you for picking a question featuring my favorite Golden Girl.
So the other question here is, as I told you, this special came out after episode 4, but before 5, 6, any of the others. However, this special does have the first canon appearance of a prominent Star Wars character.
Oh.
So if you think about episode 5 onward, really five or six, because I'll tell you they're in those episodes.
Huh.
Can you guess which character it is that shows up in the holiday special? That did not show up in episode 4. So this was their first canon appearance to this day. Characters that only showed up first in episode 5. We have like Lando Calrissian. There's Yoda. There is Boba Fett. There is IG-88. There's so the original Jabba the Hutt didn't show up in the
it was
first.
Just a man in a suit.
It wasn't even a man in a suit.
Like
it was
a
just
fur coat.
Yeah, it was a guy in a fur coat. Yeah, so there was like the new Jabba the Hutt hadn't shown up yet.
I'm wanting to say it's Lando.
You want to say Lando?
I think it's Lando.
Okay, you think Lando? I mean, Lando Calrissian does have a very like, hello, I'm here for the holiday special kind of vibe.
Yeah, and I feel like I have buried deep somewhere in my memory, just seeing like a clip. The passing trivia, like, oh, which characters made their first, like one of those
mm-hmm.
Instagram slop that you scroll, you learn something, then scroll by it so fast that then by the time you're like 10 slides away, you're like, what was it? Who are we talking about?
All right. Well, we will find out together if Lando Calrissian makes his debut appearance in the Star Wars Holiday Special as you and I chew on some bubble gum for the brain.
Yay!
For the next 2 hours as we watch the Star Wars Holiday Special with commercials.
I'm so excited. The commercials will give us a break to yap and get snacks and hang ourselves.
This Christmas, bring your child the gift they really want. It's the Who Is My Doctor in action figures. You can make them sit on their clearance sale couch and have them make a podcast about whatever show you like. Using the remote control, you can have them say all their famous catchphrases. I know a lot about Doctor Who.
Just a little guy.
Time to make 60 more man car ads.
Papa, the spirits have come for me.
It is time to overthrow the Bolivian government once and for all.
I miss the sun.
The Who Is My Doctor in action figures. Bring the joy of podcasting home today without the shame of actually starting a podcast. Bailey and Monty Cat figures sold separately.
And we are back from the Star Wars Holiday Special.
Stir, whip, stir, whip. Whip, stir, stir, whip, stir, whip.
The way I knew that if you were going to take nothing else away from this experience, the way stir, I knew whip. From now on, anytime you're making dinner or baking anything.
Oh, absolutely. I haven't made cookies in months. I used to make cookies a lot when I was, you know, a hungry teen.
Yeah, but Harvey Korman as Gormanda was a. I knew that was going to be a new vocal stem for you.
Oh, we love a working girl with four arms.
We're so, like, the people of California are so lucky that you are not still a barista, because anytime you had to mix coffee.
Stir whip. Yeah. The people of California are lucky I'm not a barista, because on my good days, I would be Gormanda. On my bad days, I'd be B. Arthur saying, you just gotta leave. You just gotta get out. The Empire said everything is closed.
The hell out of my bar.
Yeah, and then turning it into a musical number.
So just
one more round. Just one more round, my friend.
So what'd you think, Cassie?
That had so much to do about nothing. Like, if they had called it the... Here's the thing. If they had referred to it as the Star Wars Holiday Variety Hour, uh-huh. I would say, okay, because you're telling me what that is. You're telling me that it is Christmas and that it is time for a variety hour in the world of Star Wars featuring, what did I call it? Featuring a home of multi-generational man bears. Because here's the thing, they really dialed in Chewbacca's like vocal pattern, his mm-hmm. speech. Every fucking buddy else was just bears.
You know, I gotta say, we watched this whole special about three bears. Goldilocks didn't show up once.
Nope.
Unless it's Hansa. No, unless Luke, I guess it's Luke Skywalker.
It would be Ellen DeGeneres pretending to be Mark Hamill as Luke Skywalker. That's Goldilocks.
Yeah, I don't know what was up with his hair.
Jesus H. Christ.
It was like so blonde. It was way blonder than I remember it being in the original Star Wars.
And he had so much makeup on.
Everybody had so much makeup on.
I'm not going to criticize any amount of makeup on a man. That's fine. Pop off, queen. Look at my girl Gormanda, then look back at you. You've got nothing on.
Yeah, Gormanda had the full Donald Trump face tan going on.
And forearms. You can't forget forearms. I don't know what was going on with Mark Hamill's everything.
Yeah, he had so much eyeliner on. Like, it was like, even in the low quality of 1970s television, you're like, he has so much eyeliner on.
I really hate that the entire time I was watching this, I was so looking forward to the commercial breaks.
So I take it this is not your new favorite Star Wars movie.
No, I hate to say that I am agreeing with the populace. I wanted to like this so bad.
Well, because the cheese is there. The problem is...
Oh, my God, the cheese. The camp is there. Yeah. Like I said, it's the fact that it is labeled what it is. If it was called Variety Hour, then I would go in with that expectation. But because you refer to it as a holiday special, and the entire impetus is that Chewbacca is trying to get home for what is effectively Christmas...
Uh-huh.
Everything else just gets in the way of that story.
See, I would go a step further. I don't think it's the Variety Hour angle of it. I think it's that Chewbacca, like, it is so impossible to like really pay attention to what's going on with Chewbacca's family, because none of them speak any kind of language and they all have a difficult time emoting.
And they don't put any kind of subtitle.
Yeah, there's no subtitle. There's not like a human walking around that will translate for them, which in a modicum of fairness, they do a decent job of like telling you what they're saying through like visual shorthand.
Yes.
But because it's impossible to emote through the Chewbacca suits, through the Wookiee suits, you don't care. Like, it's just like, this is a, just get to the next thing.
It's also the fact that they all moved the same way, which wouldn't be a bad thing, except for the fact that you have a child, two adults, and an old man, and they are all moving with the same degree of fluidity.
Except the grandpa, who has like a weird jaw thing.
Yeah, that's a visual thing. That is a visual factor. Barring that and setting that aside, everybody moved with the same amount of energy. Which, again, you're communicating story, you're communicating what is going on through movement alone.
Mm-hmm.
So it would be kind of strange if you did have Grandpa taking like 1500 years to like communicate what his needs are.
Mm-hmm.
If he's moving more realistically for a, what I could only assume was 100-year-old Wookiee. That aside, that was a difficult watch. I didn't like it.
Here's the thing.
Zach, I'm already feeling sick. That made me feel sicker.
What's amazing about it is that it feels almost like it was designed to be made fun of.
It wanted to be good, but I do agree with the sentiment. It was written by a sentient bag of cocaine.
Yeah. Well, what I mean by that is, like, because they're Wookiees and they have these like long, and they only communicate via roars, there's not a lot of like dialogue going on most times. So it's a thing that you can sort of like point and laugh at. You can like throw a joke out there the way that you kind of in most, you know, film and TV, you can kind of only do in moments of silence. But because you already can't understand the Wookiees anyway, like if you want to throw out a joke, you can. Like there's definitely some charming moments in it for sure.
I said that at the beginning it felt like a slice of life anime.
Yeah, it's just this little like they're doing a sitcom. It's like Star Wars is a sitcom.
They're doing a sitcom in a weirdly very modern house.
Those Wookiees are ahead of their times, man.
They live in a treehouse, yet they have mid-century modern furniture.
You know, Cassie, I just realized
and a fireplace.
I just realized we're doing a Star Wars thing here, which takes place a long, long time ago. In a galaxy far, far away.
Uh-huh.
So in some ways, we're still doing an adventure in space and time.
That's why your silly ass chose this, Zach.
You caught me.
Yeah. And there are some other little tidbits. The hologram table. Cirque du Soleil hologram table.
Yeah, Cirque du Soleil, yeah.
I loved that.
I,
every fucking time I was like, oh my God, kill me. please end me.
That it would show you something that was either so like perfect for you or
eye candy.
So,
yum, yum, yum.
Or so beautifully stupid. It sort of swung back to you in a way.
Yeah.
Like anytime it wasn't doing either the
anytime it was the Variety Hour, I'd go, okay. But then when it went back over to Wookiee family, I'd go,
With this shit again.
Nah. I did keep my spirits up by eating a pomegranate as one would if they were an animal that just turned into a human.
If you were a Wookiee yourself.
Yeah. I'm getting into the... I was getting into it, Zach.
Really letting the spirit move through.
Very hard
you.
For me to stir whip a whole ass pomegranate, but, you know. I did also, so I was very painfully aware the entire time that this was released in 1978.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know how many serial killers were like out doing their thing in 1978?
None, because they were all in this special.
Several, though. And I did have a horrifying thought of like, ew, there's a non-zero chance that like Jeffrey Dahmer turned this on while like moments before killing a man.
He's hearing stir, whip, stir, whip, 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 stir, oh, as he's like stabbing someone to death.
Yeah. Because there were a lot. Because it was Dahmer. Because I looked it up. I was curious. It was Bundy, Dahmer, and Gacy that were like the three big ones with, you know, in addition to
everyone's least favorite three musketeers.
I mean, the worst part about it truly is like John Wayne Gacy was a genuinely like kind of nice guy, except for his closeted homophobia that caused him to kill so many young boys. But that's a different podcast. That is not this podcast making fun of the Star Wars holiday special. You know, the thing we do every week.
God, can you imagine if there was a podcast where they just watched this every week?
I would kill myself, literally. Yeah, that's not even a bit.
Death by a thousand cuts. So where do we want to like really start breaking this down?
Porn stash, Imperial Guard, porn stash.
Well, let me start at the very beginning.
Porn stash, Imperial Guard.
Let me start at the very, very beginning, because there's a couple things I want to talk about real quick.
Ellen DeGeneres.
So James Earl Jones did not go credited in the first Star Wars movie as being the voice of Darth Vader. So this is the first time James Earl Jones gets credited as Darth Vader. Is it the opening credits of the holiday special?
That's really funny. Was that the answer?
No. So the answer for your professor earlier was Boba Fett. Boba Fett shows up in the cartoon.
Damn.
Yeah. So Boba Fett was the answer to your question there. The other little fun detail is in it, they also say that R2-D2 is playing R2-D2. And that is because the actor that they had playing who's in the R2-D2 costume in the movies, he was not in this. That was just an RC version of R2-D2 being piloted by, and I'm not kidding, George Lucas's receptionist.
See, we also did stumble upon something very important, because in this, I did confess that I, even as a young kid, absolutely fucking loved R2-D2. So much so that I think it was the Sharper Image. They released a like $280 R2-D2 like RC model that had a Bluetooth speaker and cup holders.
Mm-hmm.
And my dad and I thought that would be a really cool thing to get for the house. And my mom told us no. So she got me a little one instead. And I still have that one somewhere out in the garage. But it's because of R2-D2 that I have such an affinity for both our Nasty Boy Daleks and K-9. And then Zach realized that R2-D2 is the exact midpoint.
Like if there was an Animorph novel.
A nasty good boy.
Of R2-D2. Dalek to K-9. The dead center frame, and it would be R2-D2.
Yeah.
Would you, so as you learned, Chewbacca's family's name is Itchy, Mala, and Lumpy. Because it goes with Chewie as Chewbacca. Would you like to take a
Lumbaca.
Guess?
Malbaca. Itchbaca. Those are my guesses.
The hardest one for me to say is the dad's name, the grandpa. His name is Edichichuk, I think is how you pronounce it.
Edichichuk.
The mom is Malatabuck. But my favorite is the son's, whose full name is Lumpawaru.
Zach, I think we have our next animal's name picked out.
Lumpawaru.
Lumpawaru. And Gatsuki.
And so, as you already mentioned, the first segment of the Variety Hour was the truly
the holographic circus.
The holographic circus, the Cirque du Soleil, where they're all dressed up. You could not decide if they were birds or bugs or what they were.
Or both.
Or both.
I get the feeling that the costumer did the same thing that I did, which was whatever, it's space. Fucking who cares?
Just, I don't know, just fucking put the neon stuff on them.
Just
fine.
Make them fuzzy, make them have little squiggly bits coming off their butt. It doesn't fucking matter, it's space.
And then next is Saw and Dan, Traitor, and
Yes.
Who is playing host to an Imperial Guard with just the biggest mustache I've ever seen.
Porn stash.
Like, I don't even know if that's a porn stash. I don't think you could ride that. I feel like it rides you.
It was too thick. I mean, granted, it's the 70s.
My favorite part of the whole thing is
he has a legal right to that mustache.
A God-given right to bear arms on his face.
To bear arm.
He can have bare arms, but he can't have a bare face. That's the rule of the 70s.
Yeah, I was trying to figure out a more creative name for his mustache, but
to bear handles.
It absolutely is just so much like when you draw a mustache, that's what you're.
And then they the Wookiees call in to see if Sondan knows where Chewie is, and he starts speaking to them in code, but it's like really thin code.
Yes, you ordered a shag rug.
Well, it departed this morning, and it was
handled solo.
I also sent the driver with some snacks for you, wrapped in an aluminum Falcon. Star Wars.
Yeah, that was. Every little like tongue in cheek thing you said should have just been followed by the biggest, dumbest wink.
Or him like turning around and looking at the Imperial Guard and going, I don't think he knows, guys.
I'll never tell.
And then the mustached man, the only thing he buys is a grooming kit.
He doesn't buy it. He just takes it.
You're right. He's like, I'll take this. I said I'll take this.
I'm going to try that in D&D. I said I'll take this.
Well, after that, the mother decides that she needs to get to work on a life day dinner. And so the way she does that is by turning on an episode of Ina Garten of Evil with Gormanda.
With oh my god, like Camp Space Julia Child meets Lady Bunny. I think she was doing, or Divine.
Paula Deen, the Alien Queen, is
she? Jeezy Pete. I mean, I want more of that.
Like, it was one of those things that was so dumb where it's like, it kind of loops around to being good again.
It was so dumb. I loved every fucking second of that part.
Especially with like, other so arms much start so, appearing underneath
so much
her.
So that I was like, oh, dip, I've been really trying to figure out, like, because I cosplay occasionally, mm-hmm. and that's one of the things that I really want to be able to, that's something that I want to build is fully articulated, like, double arms. Mm-hmm. But now I know, oh, if I actually do get around to it, I can cosplay Amanda.
What's amazing to me is
deep cut
for something that's clearly supposed to be like a sketch. There's not really a joke in it. Like the closest you get to a joke is that she has more arms.
It's a subtle bit, and then it's her fumbling through Stir Whip.
Can I tell you one thing that's kind of funny to me? I had this pulled up on Wikipedia just to like
Wikipedia.
Yeah, Wikipedia okay. Is the Star Wars Wikipedia.
Yeah, I just needed to confirm that. To go on,
Brush up on like some trivia to know some things. That's how I know for sure that his name is Lumpawaru. Do you know what they call the species for Gormanda? A species. They go to like, I don't know what she is, but she's something.
She's a species. She's a species. A species.
And then, like, as she's, like, getting more manic, she starts Cruella de Villing from 102 Dalmatians, and her hair starts flying out of its, like, pristine bun.
Give me
cinematic
more.
Parallels.
Give me more!
Well, as she's making this, suddenly Sondan shows up in the house with presents for everybody.
Yeah.
Including what's called a mind evaporator.
Okay.
For Itchy to look into.
Sure.
Where,
Yup. I was really hoping. I knew that we weren't going to. I really wanted to skip this whole part.
Yeah, where Itchy gets sat down into what effectively
it's
looks
a
like
VR a VR helmet. You can say
I
that.
I was going to say it looks like a salon hairdryer.
Yeah.
They put a little like dome on him and he's strapped
it's
into this chair.
It's just enough space for his ugly little mouth to be poking through.
So you seem to go, yeah.
Ugh.
Oh, yeah.
No, and the whole family is there. They're so worried about Chewbacca. And now he's here in his mind evaporator.
And Saudi comes over and is like, hey, I brought you a tape. And it's wow. it's wink, wink, nudge, nudge. You know what it's like.
You said that they wrote that they broadcast this with the intention of it being for the whole family.
I don't know why. I don't have no idea why.
That for gross dad or icky brother? That's the part where I'm.
What's amazing is in the script, apparently, it even implies, it says that he hands it to him like he is handing him something X-rated. Like in the script, it says that he's supposed to be handing him hardcore pornography,
which is also a bummer because I liked that song.
Yeah, it's arguably her solo performance might be the best performance in the whole.
Diane Carroll. Well, because we were watching this and I was like, she has to have been like a Bond girl or like a singer of a Bond song. And you went, no, like
she did
have a rather prolific career.
Yeah, she won a Tony Award. She was nominated for an Academy Award.
She did music film, movies and stage. So like a working girl.
Yeah. So she definitely was. I mean, she's not like a nobody, but as you could tell, the biggest band they could pull in for this special was the Jefferson Starship. They're not nobody, but they're not gonna draw a crowd on their own.
They're not Tony Osmond.
We built Cloud City.
They're no Partridge Family. Could you imagine if they had, though, roped in Partridge Family? Star Wars Partridge Family.
Just for some reason, the Brady Bunch randomly shows up.
Oh my god! I would love that. Ugh.
It's always lumpy, lumpy, lumpy.
Side tangent. There was also a commercial that made Zach and I laugh really hard.
Snoopy and Woodstock. Thank you, my dear.
Yeah, thank you, my dear. So if you need a new
phone,
if you need a new vocal stem or a new landline,
new landline phone, you can go one that looks like Snoopy
and Woodstock. Thank you, my dear. Yeah, thank you.
This was just one that we found on YouTube. So anybody could probably find this one with commercials if anyone's interested. But I do want to
I don't know why you would be.
I don't want to skip over
hypnotizing Nazis. Yes. Let's
no,
go there.
I was going to say I don't want to skip over the mind evaporator just yet because so. Can I tell you the most wild thing is they don't even say her name. She is just.
Did you look up her name?
I did look up her name.
Me too.
Her name is Mermaya.
Yeah, Mermaya. Mermaya holographic. Holographique, I imagine.
Because she is, as she subscribes, I am a compilation of your mind's desires. And then she shows up and you're like, what is Grandpa Itchy into? Because this is a human woman. Because the thing is, it's very clearly like at least somewhat erotic. Because she's like,
somewhat? Oh. She's wet.
She's like, oh, we are excited, aren't we?
And like she has on this like very beautiful, like beaded wig that does emulate her being soaking wet, and this like long gown that's just pooling around her.
And before she even shows up, there's like synchronized swimmers that like show up to it.
In like if you like held a camera up to a faceted gem and then just like spun it around real fast, like
because you it is that whole segment had started and you're like, God, I'm so back into it. And I went, no, you're not. You are going to have to be so hard out of it again.
I was into it. And then I remembered what I was watching. And went, I feel icky watching this with Zach. We don't watch this kind of stuff together.
But apparently Itchy watches it in front of his grandson.
Itchy does not give a single flying fuck what he is or is not doing in front of his family.
Merry Christmas, everybody. Grandpa's masturbating in the living room.
Yeah. Happy Life Day, everybody. Sorry we can't find your dad, my son-in-law, I think. So I'm just going to beat it in the middle of the living room here while your mom freaks out in the kitchen and you open up a gift that a man gave you.
And then they open up that gift, and inside that gift is, I guess we shouldn't go too far ahead because then the stormtroopers show up. Stormtroopers show, because they're like, oh, that could be Chewbacca at the door with Han. Come on, everybody. And it's like, surprise, it's the clan. They're here.
It's two Stormtroopers.
Yeah, space Nazis are at the door. And they immediately start like, oh, we're here. This planet is placed under martial law. There are supposed to be two adult Wookiees here and one elder and one child. Where's the other man? Where's the Wookiee we're looking for? And that Son basically, not being a Jedi, just has to be like, there's no Wookiee here right now, but maybe take a look at my wallet. You want to look at my wallet? My wallet's got my ID hidden.
Yeah,
you
he does try to throw psychic paper at him and that doesn't fucking work.
We loop it all back to Doctor Who in some way.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like it's my responsibility to as a Doctor Who podcast.
And eventually, Son decides to sit one of the troopers down and be like, all right, here, I just gave him some nice gifts. That's all. Here, take a look at him.
Here, look. See, look at this.
See, look. You want to see what's in the box? Look. It's a whole band. It's the Jefferson Starship singing their hit song.
Yeah.
Singing their hit song into a see, the thing is, when you make a microphone glow a neon color,
yep,
to the point where it loses
neon its pink, neon specifically
neon pink, in a way where it's losing its defined shape, it does just sort of make them look like they're singing directly to dildos.
Because also, this is the 70s. We don't have crystal clear cameras, gang.
Yeah.
Either that, or it literally just looked like they were singing directly into like a boom or some kind of like.
But even then,
critter.
It's got like fuzzy pink over it. So it's like a it's like a fuzzy pink handcuff boom mic.
Like it looked basically like either they were singing into a dildo or a mitten. Your choice.
It was around this time I had suddenly had the thought, you know, my mom was around the right age to watch this.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just sent her a quick text message while we're watching. Like, I never asked you this before, but you would have been the right age. Have you watched the Star Wars Christmas special when it came out? And she would, yes, it was craptastic. That was her exact words. Was craptastic.
Yep.
A resentment she has held on to for, I guess, 50 years.
Amazing.
She would have watched this when it came out.
And then never again.
And then never again.
I really want to know what that moment looked like in her house.
I want to know at what point did people, like, who got up first and walked away? And who was like, no, it's got to turn around. It's got to get good at some point, right? It's Star Wars.
It's really funny. I didn't even think about that. You turn on the TV and everybody's like, oh, ooh, Star Wars. Okay.
That's my favorite thing to like remember every like just every 15 minutes or so watching this is just like, this is Star Wars. This is supposed to be Star Wars.
At some point too, like part of the appeal for me of watching things with commercials is seeing who the target audience is.
Uh-huh.
And I really love the moment where they were just advertising pantyhose. I was like, they are really assuming that there are some like hot ladies watching this.
Or some men that look a little too long at the Sears catalogs.
And then there was a commercial for McMuffins, which made me really hungry. For McMuffins.
There's more to a McMuffin than an egg.
Oh, my God. But those ones, I want to, if I had my own time machine, Zach.
Go back in time to when the food was real.
Go back in time and get a just a McMuffin. Go back to when they released the McGriddle. Ugh. I wouldn't do anything fun with the time machine. I would literally just go back in time to get food.
to taste how food used to taste.
Yeah. Get
well, we have to keep in mind, though,
that Coca-Cola when it had actual fun drugs in it.
Here's the thing you've got to remember about food from like the 70s and 80s, though. All of it was laced with a layer of nicotine from the cigarette smoke that lingered everywhere.
Fair. Yeah, that's what made it so addictive.
You did briefly get hung up on the piece of Wookiee food you learned about called
Wookiee Ookies.
Those are just Wookiee cookies.
Wookiee Ookies. Zach, what would the human equivalent of that be? If we have Wookiee Ookies.
If we have Wookiee Ookies?
Yeah, but like if we're naming species and then a food. Human.
Human noomies.
Human noomies. Yumi-numis.
Yumi-numis.
Yumi-numis. See, the more congested you are, the better it sounds. Yumi-numis.
And then finally, Lumpy sits down and watches what everyone considers to be the highlight of the special, which is...
You skipped over B. Arthur.
No, B. Arthur's after that.
No, it's during.
I'm looking at the summary right now.
You're looking at the summary right now. That's what you sound like. The animated.
Yeah, Lumpy sits down to watch the animated segment of it, which everyone considers to be the highlight of the special, so much so.
Yeah, because they actually put it forth like some very good work into it.
Yeah, there's like it,
everybody's character model looks like their actor.
Yeah, it's like an interesting story going on. It does feel weird that Lumpy just has like a machine that can give him stories of his dad.
Oh, what if I could, mate? I'd love to see some animated stories about my dad.
Chat GPT, but this time the GPT stands for Great Parenting Tales.
That was a good joke, Zach.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
And so he's sitting there watching. He's just watching this cartoon. And so we're just sort of
the cartoons while his house is actively still being ransacked.
Yeah, you would even turn to be like, is this what's happening in the special right now? Or no, Lumpy's just watching this episode of a cartoon that introduces Boba Fett. And that's, I mean, there's an interesting story going on where it's like Chewbacca seems like he's turned on Han Solo, and the animation in it is very well done. Everyone's kind of, there's kind of like a rubbery quality to it, but there's also that like Ralph Bakshi quality where it feels like they traced over actual people in some ways.
Yeah. Like everybody looked like a caricature, but not in a bad way.
Yeah, it was exaggerated, but it felt authentic to them still. It felt like looking at, like you said, like a caricature is actually a very good way of putting
like
it.
Like a respectful caricature.
Yeah, exactly. It is, I think, unquestionably the best part of it. And that's because it kind of stands on its own. So you can just watch that segment and then be done.
Yeah.
And then we finally get to he finally watches a segment called Life on Tatooine, where we see B. Arthur running a tavern.
Life on Tatooine. It's literally just B. Arthur running the cantina and trying to protect herself from a man with a
paper mache volcano for a head.
Cone head. Then that's where he eats and drinks.
And it for some reason sounds just like a toilet, like someone pouring liquid into a toilet.
You think you could fuck it?
Could? Yes. Should you? Probably not. No. What do you think happens if you put baking soda and vinegar in that head?
He dies.
His mind is blown.
Literally. Starts oozing out of his ears.
But the quote that really stuck with me is I had forgotten he says it, and there's a part of it where it's like, oh, that quote's actually aged shockingly well. Where the guy's shown up and he's like basically trying to talk B. Arthur into going out with him.
Yeah.
Even though what she had just done was, you know, she was a bartender, so she was being friendly and
yeah,
amicable.
She's literally doing her job.
Yeah, and so he's strolled in like the T-Pain song bartender, thinking that he's about to get a date with her. And he says something akin to like, it wasn't, I had heard like what you said just meant so much to me. And she was like, really, what did I say? And he's like, well, it's not what you said. It was what you meant. And then he says, I decided what you meant was exactly what I needed to hear. And I'm like, that is the paraphrasing of so many men pursuing women that are not interested in them. Like, whoever wrote that line hit the nail on the head of what so many men say.
Whoever wrote that line was working something out.
You know, and not even like as a criticism. There's a part of it where it's like, you know, men, like everybody knows, men, I think, do it especially, but even women will do it where they have prescribed a narrative, like they've started making the movie of how this is gonna go in their head. And I think it's a lot where a lot of men, I don't want to say mistreating women, but where men put a lot of presuppositions on women is where they assume a relationship is gonna go.
She's
like
ignoring
the movie
me because she's torn up about what she wants to do with her other boyfriend, and that's why she's not talking to me right now.
Yeah, exactly.
Because
or she's
loves
playing hard
me.
To get
she's
or
playing hard to get. Yeah.
Yeah, like those sorts of things where it's like they don't even mean it maliciously. They've just crafted this narrative that that is twisted into being malicious.
It's because you're mentally ill and
or mentally immature, even not even ill. Like, I feel like I definitely had a phase where that was for me, and I wouldn't even call it mentally ill. I just, you know, my brain had not finished cooking. And so all of my perception of reality was based on TV.
Yeah. The song she sings, though, I actually kind of really liked it. And because it's in my vocal range, do you know how eager I am now to learn that so that way I can go on a musical audition?
And or just when people are leaving, you can start singing it.
And just really, because that was one thing that I was always taught during my time wanting to become an actor was musical director saying, like, pick things that are uncommon. You will be remembered much better if you pick something that is not what is on Broadway right now. Could you imagine if you go in saying, "Hey, hello, my name is Cassie Shima, she, her, and I will be singing Just One More Round from the Star Wars Christmas special."
And they're like, "The Star Wars what?"
Oh, sorry, the Star Wars Holiday Special.
Oh, well, obviously. Go for it. Sorry, you're the fourth one we've heard sing that today.
What?
Well, I do think Diane Carroll's performance was the best. I think Bea Arthur's song is better. And it's just because it's also kind of a, you know, it's the song Closing Time, which
we saw a giant rat.
Rodents of unusual size? I don't think they exist. Yeah, there's just a giant rat in the middle of the cantina.
Not a space rat. It's not neon.
Not a man with a rat head. Not an alien looking rat. It's just a giant fucking rat.
That really got you.
It's
huh,
like
bud?
A rat the size of a bicycle.
Yeah, the rat the size of a big comfy couch.
And so she's going around, like, making sure everyone's, like, awake and like, has their last drink, and they all get out the door.
Yeah, hey, we're getting shut down. Sorry, you all have to leave. I literally am being told we have to shut down. Ah, right, one more round on me. This lady is losing so much money. She is giving away so many drinks on the house.
Well, that's how
although
you get
at that
customers.
Point, too, I do also think that when your drinks are being stored in catering containers behind the counter, they probably have an expiration date. So you should serve that before you have to throw it away.
I also don't know how they made pictures look like that without a 3D printer, because those look so much like 3D printers.
The entire
pictures.
Time I was like, ugh, these cheap ass looking 3D print. Dang on. This is 1978. What are these? Where did they come from?
Why do they look like that?
Serving utensils don't look like that in the 70s.
God, it was like it's the one segment I really enjoyed. And then after that, Han and Chewie show up. And
yeah, we finally, Chewbacca's home. Chewbacca, come home now.
Yeah,
and then it's a nosedive to the end.
Yeah, and for some reason, most of the stormtroopers have left. They left one guy behind to, like, watch after them. But then through the scuffle, they shove him off the tree that they're in, and he just falls. And so later,
Lumpy foreshadowed that, Zach.
Yeah, well, yeah, him walking along the banister of the guardrail.
Yeah.
In the most, like, I'm a child and I want to commit suicide kind of thing.
I'm a child and I don't have any concept of death. Whee!
Gravity is meaningless to me. Woohoo!
I'm invincible. Nothing bad can ever happen to the kids.
I'm gonna live forever.
Oh no!
Instead, it was a stormtrooper that fell off. And
he's pushed off.
Yeah, pushed off. And then, like, obviously the Imperials are calling back, like, you haven't checked in with your comms. Turn on your comms and respond immediately. And Saw and Dan's great, brilliant idea is, yeah, so the other three left already, and the fourth one took all our food and then ran off into the woods. And they believe it. It's a life day miracle. And then you looked away for 30 seconds.
Yep. I looked away for literally 15 seconds.
When you look back up, you're just seeing the Wookiees all in robes.
In
holding
red
crystals.
Robes, holding balls with fairy lights in them, walking it towards a bright light.
You know, at the end of, you know, in Lord of the Rings, when the elves go west, that's what that looked like.
You know, at the end
cinematic
of every
parallels,
you know, at the end of every Christmas service, they make everybody dress up in red robes and carry Christmas lights and balls outside.
And then just have a delicious glass of ordinary Kool-Aid.
She knows.
Like, it's so culty. And then they show up in this room where for some reason everybody is, including Leia, who is standing on a big rock formation to sing a song. Surprisingly, it feels so weird to think Carrie Fisher singing a song is the least memorable thing in this whole special, but I already have forgotten it again.
Yeah. I just have a very clear image of you being like, man, I love when they have shots like this where everybody is just looking up at the person who is singing. And then we pan to Chewie when they start playing, you know, the Star Wars music.
Yeah, because it's Luke who's just like looking up at her with like big eyes and smiling. And then it's C-3PO and R2 and they're just kind of staring because they're robots. They don't have faces. And then it's Chewie who just looks like, I've only been home like an hour. I
had to go to church.
They didn't even bring the good wine for this communion. I still haven't gotten my medal. I don't know why this is how Chewbacca sounds. I've decided this is the voice he has now.
I mean, you are not making him sound like barf. So, cinematic parallels.
And then the holiday special finally ends with them all holding hands around the dinner table, eating their...
Fa-hu-do-res.
Because it's very important to know that
Welcome Life Day, gang's all here.
Because it's very important to know that even in a galaxy far, far away, the Wookiees still say grace before their life day.
Yeah, and everybody looks so upset that they're sitting at a table. The room is dark, which I know is supposed to be so that way, like the light from the Life Day balls,
you know, the famous Life Day balls,
are illuminating the family and everybody's together. And then the music starts, the tonally appropriate
Star Wars
actual real life John Williams music pops in, and it feels like I've just been through the wildest ride of Star Tours of my whole life.
Like, you somehow got all the worst options you didn't even know were a choice.
Jesus H. Christ, I was halfway expecting a robot to be pushing me off my couch going, bye-bye.
So you could probably see now why they've never, ever released that. Never rebroadcasted and never re-released it, because yep. It's bad.
Yeah,
It is two hours of content with maybe like 20 minutes of actual worthwhile content.
Again, if they called it a variety hour, it would be much different.
Yeah, most of even the good thing is one like contiguous animated short that could be lifted wholesale out of it, so much so that they did.
Yep.
But it is, there's something about it also that's very like, there's parts of it where, because of the way they've constructed it, it almost feels designed to be made fun of.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, it's not even like in a so bad it's good sense. It's just there's moments where
was designed to be roasted.
Yeah, like there's, you know how you'll see multicam sitcoms and they have moments to pause for laughter. It felt like this had moments to pause for someone to riff it.
I do wonder if the people that were writing this were like sitcom or sketch writers. 70s. They were definitely all on coke, but
the funny thing is the director of it has gone on record saying that he doesn't care how people responded to it. He says, I had a great day showing up on set every day. We did what we were supposed to do.
Hey, you know what? And that's all that counts.
Yeah. There's a part where it's like, I respect that. I certainly respect that as a,
like, you had a good time making it. Awesome.
It is pretty wild to think this special had 5 writers. Like, what were they? Why 5?
Yeah, they were different moments, sketches.
Yeah, but most of this needed, like, you could have all done this with one guy.
True. Maybe it just went through 5 different rewrites.
I am curious to see what else they did. You know
did
what I mean?
Did I light a curiosity spark?
Yeah,
no,
I am curious to see. To see what else these people worked on. Because so one of them is a guy named Rod Warren, who apparently specialized in writing for variety shows.
Oh, the devil, you say?
Yeah, So he produced, in addition, he did some variety shows for you had mentioned Donny Osmond and Marie Osmond earlier. If you've ever seen the Sid and Marty Krofft variety shows, Donny and Marie.
Zach, I need you to look at me one more time and say that exact sentence.
Have you ever seen the Sid and
Marty? Yes, I have. How? Okay.
He's one of the writers on that as well. He also apparently wrote he was part of the writing team for the television special produced for the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints entitled The Family and Other Living Things.
Oh, abso-fucking-lutely.
Let's see.
Zach, I think I know what we're watching next.
This was also written, strangely, by Bruce Valanche, which feels like a very weird pull.
Is that somebody I should be familiar with?
Actually, yeah, because Bruce Valanche has been on episodes of RuPaul's Drag Race.
Okay.
He's been a guest judge.
He specializes in camp?
I guess so. He also wrote for that Donnie and Marie show. The Paul Lynde Halloween special, the Brady yep. Bunch Variety Hour.
Okay, I know the type.
Trying to see who else was on
the
this.
The Paul Lynde Halloween special is a riot. If anybody wants a good vintage chuckle,
a
great place to start.
A man named Pat Proft, who was apparently one of the writers for the Naked Gun movies. This, it feels so weird looking at this pedigree because I'm like, oh, this should be good looking at who wrote this. What the hell happened? Well, I guess we know what happened. The answer is cocaine. So much cocaine.
Drugs.
Yeah, I don't know what, looking at who made it, it should be good. Especially knowing that these people like specialized in writing variety specials at this time. I don't understand. This is so weird. Maybe
they wrote this all while they were trying to go clean. So we have and haven't cocaine to thank for this.
Now, I will say I don't think it's fair for someone to have called this the worst thing to ever happen on television.
No.
Yeah. When you look at the like pedigree behind it, it's very weird that it's this bad.
Yes.
And so I really think it's just like the structure of it, like it being built around the Wookiee house is just such a bad framing device that they couldn't get over it.
I think part of it is also that if they had kept it more balanced between Wookiee house and spaceship.
Yeah. Like if we had seen more of Han and Chewie on the Millennium Falcon, you mean?
Like if it was a clean and clear 50-50 split.
Mm-hmm.
Then it would make for a more compelling story.
And also, moreover, it would feel like Star Wars still. Whereas right now it feels like we would joke that it felt like a sitcom. That's what it feels like.
Yeah, slice of life anime.
Yeah, but like a really cheap sitcom where they have one set.
It's a sitcom where this was the pilot.
They couldn't spend a lot of money on it. Although, ironically, that animated sort is a pilot for an animated series. I believe it's called Droids.
Cool.
It's about R2 and C-3PO.
Good.
I am glad we watched this because this felt very... you and I had some good laughs out of it. But also, it's just such a weird little time capsule.
Yep. I had a wonderful time watching it with you.
Yeah. It's one of those things where, like, this feels like the most accurate depiction of the 70s. You know what I mean?
Well, because this is also something, too, where I now can comfortably walk into a room... And if anybody's talking about it, I can march on over and
if someone asks how many Star Wars movies you've seen, you could be like, I've seen 10.
Yeah, I've seen the special. I haven't seen Solo, but I've seen the special.
You haven't seen Solo. You haven't seen Rogue One, but you have seen all 9 episodes and the holiday special.
Yep.
So do you like Baby Chewbacca as much as you like Baby Yoda?
I didn't like his human teeth.
His human teeth and his adult human eyes.
Yeah, and his, like, full-grown eyeballs. Yeah, no, thank you. I think I showed you a clip. In Land of the Lost, they have Chaka. mm-hmm. who's a small child actor that's wearing a Neanderthalic forehead. Uh-huh. And there are just shots where, like, he's communicating that things are, like, confusing and that he doesn't really know what's going on by just shifting his eyes back and forth with this, like, massive forehead. And it's one of the funniest things I've ever seen in my whole life. That so, was not this.
So, well, it's like I was. It feels like that, but also if Chaka couldn't move his mouth, so it's just her.
That's the thing, though. Chaka wouldn't move his mouth.
You know what it most reminds me of in Scooby Doo when there's eyes behind paintings.
Like, hey, this was Star Wars: The Haunted House, but real life people.
If for some reason Universal was tasked with making a Star Wars themed Horror Nights maze. And it's just
you walk into an unassuming, very nice, pleasant house
and then the scary you are thing assaulted. Is just Wookiees
with human eyes, pale blue human eyes.
This is the first time we played What's the Attraction on our podcast.
Why would you look at that?
Stealing bits. Hey. Tony won't mind. It's fine.
Hey, he's fine. He probably won't listen to this. It's okay.
Almost certainly. I had a good time, and this wraps up our show for the year. I mean, we're gonna take next week off, but then when we come back in January, we're gonna watch Mr. Peter Capaldi take over the role.
I forgot we do a Doctor Who podcast for a second.
You're like, Peter Capaldi takes over the role of Han Solo, or
of Ellen DeGeneres. I know I've made that joke 3 times. I just can't.
Picturing Peter Capaldi as Obi-Wan Kenobi now. You've got to use the Force.
Oh.
Your father's lightsaber. I don't know why I'm making him even more Scottish than he already is.
I was
going
to say, isn't he like only a little Scottish?
Oh, no, he's very Scottish. He just doesn't sound like he doesn't sound like a stereotype.
He doesn't sound like Craig Ferguson is what you're saying.
He doesn't sound like Craig Ferguson.
Gotcha. No.
We will tune into that on the next episode of R2 is my D2.
Affirmative. Actually, it should have been.
Happy Life Day, everybody. So glad you could check this one out. It was a very silly idea I had on April Fool's Day to do this at some point, and I couldn't let it go until we did, and now we have, and it's over, and you've listened to it, and hopefully you enjoyed it, because I did recording it. Special thanks, as always, to our Big Daddy Dalek patrons, Andrew Blewett, David Gansel, Travis Aiken, and Daniel Lindgren. Next week will be a little bit of a break for us, partly because I just got back from a trip, so we haven't had time to record anything else yet. But we will be back for you guys on January 6th, starting with the 12th Doctor's era. Until then, happy holidays, and I will see you all next Who's Day.